read my own article.
Oh, well, somebody was talking when I hit record, but welcome to Gun Day Brunch. I'm Caleb Giddings. This episode is brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. Joining me today, we have Keith, Paul, and Joey. I think this is the first time all four of us have been on the call all at once, which is pretty great. So, got all of the opening stuff out of the way.
Yes, good ad reads, except I was talking.
Yeah, that's fine. Six
Bad,
minutes in,
Keith.
it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The people that
It's our
listen to this
show.
on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, they don't really, they're like, okay, cool. I get looking at our listening statistics, they all fast forward the first like 30 seconds of the episode anyway. So,
Just all right, get to the talking part.
yeah, which is why I'm going to put this up here. If you are listening on Google, or not Google, no one listens on Google Podcasts. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. That is one area that actually works. The algorithm is not crushing gun-related content on podcast platforms as of right now. So those reviews do actually help boost us so other people can find the podcast and listen to us, so that eventually our organic ad revenue is above $1 per episode. So, that'd be nice.
That would be excellent. It also soothes our autism, which we appreciate.
It
So
does. But I don't think any of us are retiring from this life of crime anytime soon.
no.
Speaking of crimes, we have Paul on the line today. So the topic was, what is your favorite, or not favorite, actually, what is the, in your mind, the best single string of the best defensive firearms drill that your Joe average CCW holder can practice if they are looking to maximize the ROI that they get on their training time? A couple of caveats. It has to be a single string of fire, so it can't be like they should do the Modern Samurai Project standards or something like that. It has to be something that you can shoot from a single lane on an indoor range. So, presuming that it's a cool indoor range and they allow things like drawing from the holster and that sort of stuff. So, no, like, so, and with that, El Presidente is out. So, because you have to turn and draw in most, and it's got multiple targets. So, single lane. So, it has to be something you can shoot on a single lane on a range. It's very easy for you to set up. You're like, this is something that somebody who goes and buys a Taurus GX2 and a UM tactical holster can go and practice the same day that they get their gun and a box of 115 grain Magtech. Those are the criteria. Paul, you go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Gabe White standards.
That's multiple strings of fire.
But easy setup. You don't have to move Watch
that
that arm. Watch that arm, man.
This is the
That's
left one. We're
a
fine. Get out, Paul. Get out.
tough arm. Can I at least defend it?
Yes, you can defend it. You're wrong because you failed to adhere to the fucking rules of the fucking thing. But defend your position.
Yeah, it has four strings of fire. However, you don't the setup is really easy. You just shoot it at 7 yards. You don't need to move further, or you don't need to move back. You don't need to turn. You don't even need to reload. Gabe White standards consists of a build drill, a failure to stop, also known as a Mozambique, and then two to the head, two to the body, and then
No,
just
two to
to
the
the head.
body. So the
Yeah.
Gabe White standards consists of, in this order, fired in Gabe White's presence, a bill drill, an immediate incapacitation drill, which is two shots to the head box, a failure to stop drill, two to the body, one to the head, and then a split bill drill, which is four body, two head.
I got the
And
order mixed up, but I'll
nice.
continue. So what Paul has done here, ladies and gentlemen, has taken both Caleb and my answers, which are public and on social media right now, and he's like, "Those sound both good. I'm gonna make
I'm going to take your
it
answers and make them my answers,
better."
which, to be
Oh,
fair, in Paul's
continue.
defense, I actually agree with him that if you really want to maximize, like, if I were to bend the parameters of my own thing a little bit, I would actually agree that the Gabe White standards are really, really good because they are all, for all the reasons that Paul said. right? Like you can set them all up at 7 yards. You don't need to reload. It's under 17 rounds. So if you're carrying, a modern service pistol with 17 round, a 17, 18, 20, whatever magazine, they're very easy. It's very easy to shoot. So I actually agree with the spirit of that. And to Keith's point, it does also encompass both of the drills that that Keith and I selected for this as well.
So, acknowledging that Paul said, I reject your reality and substitute my own. Well done.
Yes. Now pick one drill, Paul, and it can't be the Gabe White standards. One drill.
Okay. I'll go with build drill.
Yes. Build drill is reasonable. I too used to be on the build drill on the build drill train for this sort of thing. So since you went with build drill, we'll go to Keith, who also said build drill on social media. Keith, defend your position.
Yep, I picked the build drill as you picked. I'll let you choose the one you picked. It's been mentioned already, but I picked build drill just due to the simplicity of it. Now, all you need is a par timer, which you can put on your phone. You don't even need a legitimate shot timer. You need a par timer, and it is a center mass multi-round drill that gets you out of the two-round solve all problems mentality, which is unfortunately still part of something like a failure to stop is 2-1. I agree the failure to stop is also a really good drill because it constitutes assessing that your rounds are not solving your problem and then using a different shot to solve the problem. But from the basic standpoint of I need a citizen shooter, I need a civilian shooter, a basic shooter to be able to deliver very effective fire to an effective area. All right, reasonably sized center mass target, send rounds, wait for effect. Build drill accomplishes that very well, and it accomplishes it from, if you're doing it to standards, from concealment. So you have all the aspects of a concealed carry draw and stop of a single threat at a reasonable distance. So
The reason why, so I used to be a big, and I still am a big proponent of shooting build drills. I think they're fun to shoot. The reason why I am less hype about them for as a concealed carry drill is unless the person doing it has a supreme amount of mental discipline, what it often turns into is ripping the gun out of the holster and being emotionally and mentally and physically committed to firing 6 shots without, regardless of the intent of what happens on shot 3 or 4 or, five, right? And
I knew that was going to be your caveat, and I very much agree
yeah.
that the build drill gets abused as an all gas, no brakes drill. Just send six, send six, send six. Let me
And I mean,
hit this time standard versus what I want to push is don't send two, which is why my caveat in the answer was also the non-standard response, which is 3 to 5 rounds, and then usually one to the head. Also could be called the split build drill, 4 and 2. So
I saw people in the comments on this post argue in favor of the split build drill because it acknowledges that if you are running the gun as fast as you can, which is probably faster than you should be running the gun in a fight, you're gonna get way past 2 shots before you are able to assess that something bad ha that something isn't is or isn't happening. And kind of the thought process on that is speed of human reaction time, right? So we've got, I think it's the Pore Science Institute did a really good study that shows that even your average dirt bag can press a trigger and get 0.25 splits, right? Which it then takes you about 0.35, 0.4-ish for the average person to complete this entire cycle of press a trigger, assess what happened on the other end, on the receiving end of that trigger press, and then initiate another trigger press, right? So your speed of assessment, it varies, right? Like I know my speed of assessment is going to be faster than a lot of other people's speed of assessment because of what I do for a living. But figure you're only capable of assessing your speed and your hits on like a 0.35 at the very, very fastest. So even if I'm shooting 0.2s, I am outrunning my ability to assess what's going on, which is why I'm probably going to get to 0.23, you know, four or maybe even five rounds before my brain goes, oh, I have shot this guy five several times in the chest and he's still just standing there. Maybe I should shoot him in the fucking face, right? So I do like the idea of the split bill drill for that, because it allows you to, because it acknowledges the reality of the situation that I'm going to probably send more bullets than I necessarily want or needed to, which then takes me back to the to my choice, which is the failure to stop drill, also known as the Mozambique drill. Now there are a couple of caveats to how you should set this drill up if you're going to train it, which caveat number one is, ideally you should not set this drill up where you are ripping the gun out of the holster and firing three pre-programmed shots, right? It should not, if you are training this drill for self-defense, sound like bam, bam, bam. Because a key component of the Mozambique drill, the original Mozambique drill, as codified by Colonel Cooper after his friend in Africa shot a dude twice in the chest with a high power, pulled the gun back to a compressed ready because he thought, you know, well, I shot the guy twice in the chest, problem solved, right? Problem not solved. He pulled the gun back to the ready, assessed the threat, came up and planted one in his face, right? That was the original Mozambique as it was taught in gun sight. And I think that that is a very effective way to teach it, because it allows you to have that pause. The idea of this drill, the idea of the Mozambique as taught, as I think you should practice it if you are practicing for self-defense, is to fire two well-aimed, precise shots, assess the threat on the target, and then go to the head box if the threat, if the effect on target isn't what you desired. The other way to train it is to fire two shots at the chest and immediately transition to the head box. And if the head box is still there, you would take the shot. Both of these give you that ability to assess what's going on with your gun, with the target, and all of that. And I think it's very useful. It can be set up on a single lane, da 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 da. But what isn't beneficial is that automatic, you know, I'm going to rip the gun out and fire it, bam, 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 three shots, which is exactly what I did when I was doing it in the Gabe White standards, was rip the gun out and fire three shots because I'm trying to hit a par time, right? There's a difference between training for performance shooting and trying to hit par times and trying to train in a way that is simulating what goes on in actual fights, right? And they're both incredibly
Conducive
valued.
to information transfer. Let's use some big words there. Conducive to information transfer, meaning you are still aware of what's going on. It's the same thing. Like if you're shooting an action shooting stage and you can see through the cardboard and the orange freaking walls
The snow
and everything,
fence.
you can game the whole thing and you're going for time. That is not how you actually clear rooms.
Yeah, no.
Not if you like living. So that you have two different mentalities, and I like that, which is why I'll caveat back. And while I like the bill drill for the standpoint of efficacy on target, especially from handguns, small calibers, etc., the NSR of 3 to 5 to the body and 1 to the head, which is kind of a combination of the two, I think that one does. One, you have to determine, all right, 3, 4, or 5 shots. Are all those where I want them? All right, is the head box still there?
I think in lieu of the bill drill, and you know, since we're talking about regular earth people, one of the ones that I would recommend instead of that would be the Claude Werner's 5x5 drill. So it is shot at 5 yards at a 5-inch target, which conveniently the nine ring of a B8 target is about 5 inches. So there's your target. 5 yards. 5-inch target, 5 shots, 5-second par time. That allows you to shoot at a level of accuracy that we want to deliver when we're actually shooting at, you know, living things. It if you're shooting it on that par time, if you're drawing and getting those shots done in about 4.5, 5 seconds, at no point have you ever outrun your headlights. And I think it's a really, really solid drill. And it's sort of where that's it's one of my baselines, right? I'm like, if you can do this, it's actually I use it as an assessment drill in a lot of classes where I'm like, all right, can you do this? Beep. And we go down the line. And if everybody can do it, I know I'm probably gonna have a pretty okay class. That's one that I really, really like. If we start to get into the realm of training for realism and we move a little bit away, since you know, we move a little bit away from the single lane drill, right? The single lane on an indoor range. The variation of the failure to stop drill that I practice actually quite frequently is I'll actually have two targets set up. All right. So, you know, I'll have one, you know, here, I'll T1 will be here, and then T2 will be over here off to the right or the left. It doesn't matter what direction it is. And you do your failure to stop drill where you go bang, bang at T1. And then, because in the real world, when you put bullets into people, they tend to move. You then have for your shot number, for your headshot, you actually have to transition the gun to the other head target to us to sort of simulate that somebody got shot and they decided they didn't want to get shot no more, so they moved, and then you are moving the gun to get to that other target. And if you really want to add a fun wrinkle to that, I was talking to Daryl Bolke today about that, and he's like, what you really want to do to make it fun is in between target number one and target number two, you put a target that you put a no shoot, but it's a special kind of no shoot because it's a no shoot that you cannot cover with a muzzle. All right. Put a picture of your wife or your kid or, you know, Princess Leia in the gold bikini on it, like something that you absolutely cannot point a loaded gun at, and now solve that shooting problem. And that changes that dramatically because one of Daryl's critiques
Not just a
of,
no shoot, a no muzzle.
yeah, one of Daryl's critiques of the gun games, which I agree with as a critique of gun gaming in general, is that we point guns at no shoots in the gun games all the time, right? If I'm shooting an IDPA match and I've got a target here, a no shoot here, and a target here, that no shoot's getting a gun pointed at it as we
Yeah,
transition
they're
across.
getting muzzled because that's the shortest distance to move that gun.
Right. It's not feasible if I want to win to go pow pow, bring the gun back to a high compressed Sewell position, and then pow pow at the other guy, which is a lot more what you should do in the real world if you did that, because there's a lot of no shoot. There's the usually the no shoots to shoots ratio in the real world is a lot worse than it is in the gun games. All right, Paul, you now have permission to pick a drill that involves multiple targets or movement or something, you know, something off, you know, so something, you know, that's more than just stand and deliver, good sir.
Well, since we're talking about bulky, one of the drills I'll add is the super test, the advanced super test.
I swear to God, I said you have permission to pick a drill that involves movement or is more than a single target, and you're like, the super test, standing still and one target. I'm like, God damn it! That was the
That
first prompt. Continue. Continue the
the
joke.
original. You have a B8, you start at 15 yards, move on to 10, and then move on to 5. And I say the advanced one because you're under timer pressure to draw and shoot. And it's one that I like to incorporate into my gun reviews just to meaningfully shoot guns. And timer pressure is something that you have to contend with. So it's a good one. It's not too difficult to set up in most pistol bays or even indoor ranges with the moving target stands. And
The super test is one of those drills that fucks me up because my brain sees a target with scoring rings on it and really, really, really wants to shoot slower to maximize my points, even though that is a good way to fail the super test. I've missed the par on the super test multiple times, but had like really, really nice groups in the 10 ring, and I'd be like, but I got the most points. So that's
but my
it's
score be good.
yeah, that's a drill that I genuinely struggle with shooting to the intent of the drill.
This is probably going to get me like, show my competition bias, but I think that one should definitely be a hit factor drill for scoring because that's you asked for my take on that. But
Fair enough.
in the end, you get good training pressure from having to draw and shoot and then mentally make sure you don't miss the part time on each one at different distances. You have to manage your sights, your dot, whatever. It's got good stuff.
It does. It does indeed have good stuff in it. Let me think. If I had to pick a drill that was that, a one more drill that involves movement and or multiple targets, I would actually go with, what's it called? I think it's called, hang on. Do-do-do-do.
Actually, you got me curious about something. You mentioned El Press earlier. Is there something you wanted to bring up about El Press that has benefit to this podcast topic?
Well, so my drill that I would pick if I was doing one that would have movement and multiple targets would actually be the vice pres, which is half an El Presidente. So it's the El Pres without the reload and then the second six shots. Because again, if you don't game it, like if you're watching the video version of this, like my start position for an El Pres is like hands up, like almost three quarters of the way turned around, right? But if you don't game it, I can think of multiple real life situations I've been in where I've been, say, standing at a counter, and there have been people behind me, and I've kind of like looked over my shoulder and been like, one, two, three. Yeah, that's the order I'd shoot those guys in. So I like that you have to turn. I like that you have to acquire a target that you weren't looking at in immediately, right? Because one of the disadvantages to all of these static drills is that you are looking at the thing that you want to shoot. It's not like you're having
And
to
you know for
suddenly,
a fact you are going to shoot it.
yeah, it's not like you have to suddenly, acquire it, like find the thing that you're going to shoot and then shoot it. So, yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the vice pres. Obviously, there's limits on that one. You can't, since you start facing up range, you can't do it on most indoor ranges. They will kick you out, hypothetically. But it that's a really good one, I think.
One you can kind of do, depending on the target system on an indoor range, is a shoot no shoot if you can program it to flip to a no shoot side or a shoot side. So you can get away with that a little bit. El Prez is a real good one. To give a little bit of credit to Lucas Bodkin here, I think it was his target set that had the random prints of threat, no threat, and they were graphically really good. So you had a bunch of different prints of a dude, then he could have a cell phone or he could have a camera or he could have a gun or a knife in his hand, and it'd be in various positions. It wouldn't just be in the neutral bad guy position where, the muzzle's pointing at you and fine. And we with the Academy have done blind turn drills for that, where we present a target, shooter's facing up range, and we go, all right, go. They have to turn, assess whether or not that person is a problem, and shoot or no shoot. And that can be multiple targets, it can be single target. The problem with that drill is it's logistically heavy. You need the
What's like,
targets, you need the range that you can do up range shooting on. And it's time intensive for single shooters, so.
yeah, I like stuff like that where you actually have to think with the gun in your hand. Like if you go to gun sight and you're working the shoot houses, not all of the targets, like some of the targets will have a gun, some of them will have a badge, and it's in the same spot, and you're like, is it a pow? Oh, I just did a Men in Black. If you don't get that reference, leave immediately. And that's to the people who are listening to this. What was I going to say? Something.
Target judgment drills.
Oh yeah, I think one of the solutions to this that should be plainly obvious is have a friend. and train with them. I understand that a lot of the people who listen to this show are our semi-autistic shut-ins who don't like people and really enjoy firearms training because
There's a
there's
solution to
numbers and
that, though. You
counting.
find another semi-autistic shut-in.
Yes, exactly. Make a friend with somebody whose presence you can only tolerate in the confines of this very narrow niche of your hobby, and then you only have to see them when you're training. But the reason why you can do something like why things like that are beneficial is because your friend, let's say, this is a drill I've actually done. So we set up the failure drill with a, with two targets, two to the chest and then one to the head. But you'd start facing upper range. And the reason you would start facing upper range is while you are upper range, your friend would go and he would put either a white or either a yellow or a blue post-it note on that head box. If the post-it note was yellow, it was a shoot. If it was blue, it was a no shoot, right? So when you would turn, you would make that initial sh two shots on that first target, and then you would have to see, assess, and then make your shoot no shoot decision. And it's good practice to do things like that where you have to anything that interrupts the training paradigm of the gun comes out of the holster and we shoot a predetermined scripted amount of shots.
Anything that encourages the thinking aspect of having a gun in your hand, where you actually have to assess what you're seeing, because the biggest problem with most shooting drills, this is regardless of your if you're doing competition, if you're training for real world, if you're training for handling, whatever. Most drills are around the handling and competency aspect, just mechanically being able to run the gun, and it gets significantly harder in or it. To incorporate the should I shoot? Because we're training shooting. So, of course, you should shoot. So, anything that can add an aspect of do I shoot or do I not shoot to the drill is an excellent addition. So, yeah, post-it notes, yes or no. Is this a shoot? You can do that with, three or four target arrays as well. Rearrange them. One's a shoot, find it type things. Shoot them in order. Shoot only a shoot only yellow post-it notes, and there could be one, there could be three. Anything that makes you take that second and look because you need information is probably worthwhile to add. Because the going back to failure to stop and bill drill and any of these drills where it's just a standard under time, the error in those drills, the error in doing just those drills is that it's always a shoot problem.
That
The
is
predetermination, it is a shoot problem.
because we're again, like you said, we're training to shoot. So of course the solution to all of our problems is to shoot the gun. There's some advanced schools out there where there'll be like a light and stuff like that where they work into some of that, shoot, don't shoot. Obviously, there's force on force training. Anyone who has done real proper force on force training that incorporates no that incorporates
Non-threats or
non-threats, bypassers, people standing around minding their own business, those people get shot a lot, like a lot. And it's because someone like me or Paul will go into this force on force scenario, all jacked up on adrenaline. I'm having auditory exclusion because I'm in this stupid ass helmet. And all I see are other people in stupid ass helmets. And I know that one of those people in that stupid ass helmet has a gun. So people in helmets start getting shot. And you kind of tend to tunnel vision in on the thing that you're associating. So I think training like that, the force on force stuff like that, is hugely beneficial to help break that I'm ripping the gun out of the holster and firing mindset. Now, all of that being said, if you can't tell the difference between competition shooting and a gunfight, you don't have any business doing either of them. So, there's that to consider
That
as well.
is incredibly fair. But to go back to go back to the baseline of our topic today,
There has to be there's always going to be an acquiescence to simplicity. You're going to, for the environment that you're able to train in, for the environment you're able to access on a regular basis, you're going to always have to make concessions to training. So that could be the array of targets or the type of movement or lack of movement that you can do. There are all kinds of things that you are going to be constrained in any training environment. If you get the opportunity to go outside those, I heavily encourage people to take those opportunities whenever they present themselves, because they don't present themselves often and they are often incredibly illuminating when you do. So go force on force. Go take, like, it may not be relevant to your day job in the slightest, but if you get the opportunity to go take, like, nighttime two-man CQB out of a vehicle or something like that, go do it just to see weird shooting problems.
Yeah, exposing yourself to stuff that you, and that's one of the big, and genuinely one of the big advantages to IDPA over USPSA for the sort of people who are whose primary concern about carrying a gun is doing so in a civilian environment is I've shot countless IDPA and USPSA matches over my time, and IDPA matches are far more likely to incorporate props that are things that you would deal with in the real world, like cars. I have shot out of cars, shot around cars, shot into cars, started in a car, got out of a car. Like, I've done so much car stuff from IDPA that it's actually informed how I carry a gun in the real world. Because I remember there's this one match, I want to say, I couldn't tell you where it was, somewhere in the Midwest. And I remember I sat down in the car with my holster and all of my gubbins on, and I was like, this is really uncomfortable. Like, these spare mags are digging in, like, right under my floating rib right here. And I'm like, none of this is good. I would never carry like this in the real world, because I'd never had to sit in the car and do it. So, other very realistic things I've done in IDPA, I have, I've had to open real doors, right? Not like USPSA prop doors, which are very flimsy and stuff like that. I've had to actually open real doors. Have had to carry a baby, not a real baby, obviously. You guys have probably heard the story about how I yeeted that baby and got a penalty for it because I was playing a game. But if you, oh yeah, so Paul, if you haven't heard the story, so
Have
there's this
not.
stage where you have to, you started and you had to carry this baby in your support
Was
hand.
this
I mean,
pre-Jack? Was this before you had a real one?
oh yeah, absolutely. This is like 2012 or something. And you had to carry this baby in your support hand and engage your targets strong hand only until you got to the baby's crib where you could place the baby down and then you could reload your gun and continue the stage, right? I was like, there was no fence in between the start position where you pick the baby up and the baby's crib. So I, being who I am as a person, you shooter ready, stand by, beep, grab the baby with both hands and underhand toss it into the crib, which was honestly the best shot I made that day, was getting that baby 5 yards into the crib. The baby lands in the crib. I draw my gun and go, wha-ba-ba-ba-boom. I beat everybody's time by, I don't know, 10 seconds and immediately got the harshest of all IDPA penalties, the failure to do right. Because, and to be fair, I absolutely deserved that penalty. I contravened the spirit and intent of the course, which is cheating in IDPA.
Yep.
So yeah, I totally deserved that penalty. That being said,
However, baby eat.
however, I also got to yeet a baby, so it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. It was a club match, I think. So I there wasn't, I wasn't too concerned about winning or losing. But none of this is to take anything away from USPSA and its benefits as well. I think USPSA, I think if you are very, very interested in the pinnacle of performance-based shooting, then you have to shoot USPSA. There's no question about that.
It's also a good bit of thinking with a gun in your hand, even though you're
Yeah,
thinking,
absolutely.
even though you're thinking within the context of the stage and clearing it and all that, it's better than nothing. That's
Yeah.
I've used it
And I will
since, so
also,
taking it more seriously.
I will also throw this out too. The people who critique both USPSA and IDPA and say that, oh, well, there's no stage walkthroughs in real life. The hell there aren't.
I live in
There's.
my house, the location I am most likely to get into a gunfight. I also, go to my stores, my gas stations, my restaurants, all the locations that I am likely to encounter a problem just based on volume of time spent there.
You can do
Guess
stage
what?
walkthroughs in your house with something like this. This, if you're listening, is a blue gun. In my other hand, I have a toy gun. It's got the orange tip and everything. By the way, these toy guns, completely ADHD moment. Greg Elifritz posted these on his Facebook a while ago. It's a toy. It kind of looks like a Colt Python. You can open the cylinder. You can, when you press the trigger, the cylinder revolves. It doesn't fire. It only fires in single action, which I think is stupid. But I bought three of these immediately because when I'm teaching revolver classes, there I finally have a prop that I can use to illustrate trigger presses, draws, and all of that other stuff. And also, when you load it, it does actually shoot these little tiny rubber bullets, which hurt like hell if you shoot someone in the ass with them at close range. Not that I would know anything about that. But anyway, guys, which one of these came out of here? Don't do what I'm doing. Do, 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 do. Here we go. So, yeah, shoot matches. It's good for you. It makes you a better shooter and smarter and more attractive to the women. That last part's a lie. It definitely is not. If you meet a girl who's like, oh my God, you shoot USPSA, that's so sexy.
She's a fed bed.
Your my initial like I know your initial thought would be we should clear this is the one I should marry her. It's a trap. It is a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap because there's only yeah. Just don't do that. It's a terrible
Go
idea.
meet girls at bars and restaurants and like the
Church or
fair and
something.
stuff,
Yeah.
like in normal meat space, please.
Yeah, meet girls at church, actually. That's probably the best place. I think I just broke the trigger with burn spray. Oh, there it goes. Okay. Anyway, these toy guns are like $8 on Amazon or something crazy like that. And again, they're totally like, should you get a bunch of them and shoot your friends with them? No, that's dangerous. Well, you could wear eye
That's
protection, but if you
Hey,
wear eye
Bob, you have
protection,
glasses?
it's
Quack.
way less dangerous. Look, I'm just saying, I have three of these. If I had lived in an office environment, and you were caught like this would be a problem. Like we would be having gunfights in the office. And if you were caught lacking, it would be a really bad time for you.
May or may not happen in our office from time to time as Charles rediscovers wherever he last left his Nerf gun.
Good old office Nerf gun wars. Well, guys, we've gone completely off the rails, as is the norm here at Gun Day Brunch. I'm sitting here with a toy gun
Tradition.
with my finger on the trigger because you could do that with a toy gun, and people are going to get mad. Like, you should always practice. Like, listen, I think I did. I think I just broke it. Nope, we're good. There we go. Oh,
A really
maybe I did
bad
break
comment
it.
that
Oh, I
I made
did
with a
break it.
brain
Hang on.
fart.
Yep, it's broken. That's sad. Tragedy.
No.
That's okay. I have two more of them for exactly
It's
this
backups.
reason. All right, boys. That's it for this week's episode of Gun Day Brunch. I'm gonna go try to fix my toy gun. Thank you everyone for listening, liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all of those fun things that help boost the signal. Thank you to both Paul, Keith, and our Zoomer for being on the call today, even though the Zoomer didn't talk. Is he supposed to talk, Keith?
Sometimes, I don't know. We haven't figured it out.
Okay.
Occasionally when he talks, I wish he wouldn't, so.
He's like Jamie on the Joe Rogan podcast. He just kind of sits there and we're like, what's he? Is this the part where he says words or no words? But anyway, thanks everyone for liking, sharing, subscribing, listening, following, downloading. Keep downloading. The downloads are going great. If you are listening to the audio version and you happen to hear ads, that's because there is a service where we can just sign up for like random over-the-air ads, which are a lot like YouTube ads. So if you get one and you like it, interact with it. So far, the only ones I've heard on Listen Backs have been ads for casinos, which that's reasonably on brand for us.
Yeah, we're getting to that time frame.
Casinos. All right, guys. See y'all next week.